What makes America great? What makes us exceptional? What makes us arguably the greatest country in the history of the world is that in moments of crisis, be it economic or fiscal, be it military or spiritual, there have been men and women throughout our history who have stood up and made decisions that think more about the future of their children and their grandchildren than they did about their own political futures. Ladies and gentlemen here tonight, this is one of those moments in American history. Let this be the time. Let this be the time when we can tell future generations what we did to make America great again. Right? That's why we created OurAmericanRevival.com, to get out and tell the story about what we need to do to transform America, to reignite the American spirit, to move this great country forward. But you know, the biggest challenge to that is just up the way, just down the river, up the Potomac, to Washington, or as I like to call it, 68 square miles surrounded by reality. Right? Today in Washington, we have a president who thinks we grow the economy by growing Washington. Think about that. In the last year, we saw a report that showed that six out of the top 10 counties, six of the top 10 wealthiest counties, according to median income, are right here in the D.C. area. They think growing the economy is growing Washington. Well, I got news for them. We believe in America that it's growing the economy in cities and towns and villages all across this great country. We think that's the way to go forward. We understand that people create jobs, not the government, and we're going to help the people of this great country create more jobs, create more careers, create more opportunity. Now, up the way there in Washington, we have a president who measures success in government by how many people are dependent on the government. We should measure success by just the opposite, by how many people are no longer dependent on the government. We understand that true freedom and prosperity does not come from the mighty hand of the government. It comes from empowering people to live their own lives and to control their own destinies. That's the American way. You see, here in America, there's a reason why we celebrate the 4th of July and not April 15th, because in America, we celebrate our independence from the government, not our dependence on it. That's right. Our independence from the government, not our dependence on it. That's the American way. And up the way in Washington, we have a president who draws lines in the sand and fails to act. A president who calls ISIS the JV club, who calls Yemen a success, and who calls Iran a country we can do business with, and to add insult to injury, whose former Secretary of State actually gave a reset button to the Russians. A reset button. We need a leader in America who stands up and realizes that radical Islamic terrorism is the threat to our way of life and to all freedom-loving people around the world. We need a president, a leader, who will stand up and say, we will take the fight to them and not wait till they bring the fight to American soil for our children and our grandchildren. We need a leader who will stand with Israel. And we need a leader who understands that when the prime minister and leader of our longtime ally asked to come to Congress to share his concerns about Iran, we should show him and his country our respect. We need to show the world that in America, you have no better ally and no greater enemy. In America, we will stand up for what is right and stand against what is wrong. That's what we need in America. You know, I think back to 2009 when Tonette and I were first thinking about running for governor. We sat down and thought about it. And we talked about it. We ultimately prayed about it. And we knew it'd be tough. But we got in that race for governor back then because we were worried that our sons, Matt and Alex, who are now 19 and 20, would grow up in a state that wasn't as great as the one we grew up in. And I got to tell you, as parents, that was unacceptable. And so today, many years later, I'm proud to tell you that because of our reforms, our state is indeed better than the state I grew up in. We took on the powerful special interest in Washington, and we returned the power back into the hands of the hardworking taxpayers. They didn't like that. They tried to recall me. They made me their number one target. But in the end, we showed that we can fight and win for the hardworking taxpayers. Because of that, in our state, we don't have seniority or tenure anymore. We can hire and fire based on merit. We can pay based on performance. We can put the best and the brightest in our classrooms, and we can keep them there. And you know what? It's working. It's working. Our school scores are better. Our ACT scores are second best in the country. Our graduation rates are up over the past 4 years. Our reading scores are up over the past 4 years because we put the power back in the hands of the hardworking taxpayers and the people they elect to run their school boards. On top of that, we were able to take a state where the unemployment rate in 2010 was 9.2% at its peak. It's now down to 5.2%. We're a state that had been taxed and taxed and taxed, and today I'm proud to say, after 4 years as governor, we've reduced the burden on hardworking taxpayers by nearly $2 billion. And get this, a typical homeowner in our state is paying less in property taxes now than they were paying 4 years ago. When my budget is done over the next 2 years in 2016, they will pay less than they paid in 2010. How many other governors in America can say that? We've led the way with lawsuit and regulatory reform. We defunded Planned Parenthood and signed pro-life legislation. We enacted concealed carry and passed Castle Doctrine. And we passed a law in our state that says if you want to vote, you need to vote legally. It should be easy to vote, but hard to cheat. In our state, we passed a law that says you need a photo ID to vote in the state of Wisconsin. And just breaking, as of next week, Wisconsin will become the 25th state in America that allows workers the freedom to choose whether they want to work for a company and be in a union or not. So how did we do that in a state that hasn't gone a state? Apparently, the protesters come from Wisconsin as well. But you know what? Those voices can't drown out the voices of the millions of Americans who want us to stand up for the hardworking taxpayers. As long as I'm a leader, I'll continue to do that going forward. We won in Wisconsin. A state that hasn't gone Republican for president since 1984. That's more than 30 years ago. In fact, that was back when I was in high school and I actually had a full head of hair. But you know how we did it? We did it without compromising. We stood up and said what we were going to do, and then we did it. We showed that fighting and winning for the hardworking taxpayers can make a difference. And not only did our base stand up for us, we won the last election with nearly 12% of the independents. Because, you know, independents want the same thing as the base. They want to fight. They don't want someone that's going to fight just for the sake of fighting. They want someone who's going to fight and win every single day for the hardworking taxpayers. That's exactly what we need in this country going forward. So the last thing I'd say as we close here, and we'll take some questions, is that we need your help. You know, I mentioned going to Philadelphia at the beginning of my comments, and one of the things I loved about going to Independence Hall was standing there early in the morning and looking at all those desks and chairs and seeing the chair up in the front where George Washington sat for nearly 3 months. And if you know the story of that, the legend goes that James Madison said that Ben Franklin looked at that chair day after day and wondered, because on the back of the chair is a half-rising sun. And he wondered if the message was that the sun was rising or setting. And Madison says that Franklin said at the end of their time together, he believed that the sun was indeed rising just as our country was. Today, I believe we need to go back and look at the founding principles of this great country, not to go back in time. Don't confuse that. Not to go back in time, but rather to use that as a guide as we go down the path to provide a brighter future for our children and our children's children and those yet to be born. We need your help moving forward. We need your help making America great again. If we can do it in Wisconsin, there's no doubt we can do it across America. Thank you for letting me come out and share with you.
Governor Walker, Ned Ryan, American Majority, board member of the American Conservative Union, would like to know, should you become commander-in-chief, how would you deal with threats such as ISIS?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, sometimes people in the media don't understand that as a governor, I actually get a threat assessment from the FBI and from my adjutant general. And without divulging confidential information, I would tell you for years I've been concerned about that threat, not just abroad, but here in American soil. You've already seen some of the reported stories about what we see in the Twin Cities and some of the issues there. I think it is clear. I think of my two sons, one of whom's with me today, the other will be here over the weekend, Matt and Alex, who are 19 and 20. And I know all of you as parents feel the same way. I want a commander-in-chief who will do everything in their power to ensure that the threat from radical Islamic terrorists do not wash up on American soil. We will have someone who leads and ultimately will send a message not only that we will protect American soil, but do not take this upon freedom-loving people anywhere else in the world. We need a leader with that kind of confidence. If I can take on 100,000 protesters, I can do the same across the world.
Governor Walker, in recent times, obviously with the economy and jobs, it's been hard for the American youth. How do you plan to impart hope to the American youth for the future, to give them opportunity, to give them jobs?
Well, I think I mentioned I've got a 19 and 20-year-old who are pretty proud of the fact that in our last campaign, as tight as it was, being the number one target in America of the labor unions and many others on the left, we ultimately went, I think, in one exit poll, 49 to 48 amongst 18 to 24-year-olds. Why is that? So why is it? It wasn't just technology, and we did a lot of that. We partnered with Google and others out there to get our message out. I think talking not just to my sons, but others like what we just heard from, what our young leaders want in America is not unlike what the rest of us want. It's want us to take the power out of Washington. Washington is washed up. The power structure in Washington is broken. What they believe is a top-down, government knows best, go along to get along mentality is the way to go forward. I think the rest of us, particularly our young leaders, understand the way to grow the economy and the future of this country is to build the economy from the ground up, to say that if you want to start your career, you want to start a business, you shouldn't have to wait. We should get government out of the way. The left, the liberals, they're the ones that want to push you down. They're the ones that want to tell you to wait your turn. They're the ones that want to say you can't do it till you go through multiple layers of permits and other things. We should be the ones that spend a very open message to say, in America, you want to live the American dream, we're going to make it as easy as possible to do. I think that resonates not only with young people, I think that resonates with all freedom-loving people in this great country.
Governor Walker, we've been seeing in the news recently the FCC's plan to regulate the Internet. Mm-hmm. would be your plan to deal with that attempt to regulate the internet?
Well, those are the sorts of things we're going to talk about going forward, should I choose to be a candidate. But I think on that or any other principle, to me, the guiding principle should be freedom. To me, the more free you make things, the more things you open, kind of in light of the question you just asked, I think not only young Americans, but all of us, we want a free and open society. We want to have the government out of the way. We want to make it as easy and accessible as possible, and that's what we're going to do in any decisions going forward, should we choose. My lawyers love that when I say to it, as we're exploring a campaign, should we choose to run for the highest office in the land.
Last question.
I did run in track. I was good at the half mile and the quarter mile. And I've been running 3 times in the last 4 years, so I'm getting pretty used to it. But
as a Ryan, I appreciate your running history. Do you support raising the minimum wage?
I think arguing about how low wages are is a faulty argument. I think in my state and across this country, we need to talk about how we can lift up people with the education and the skills that they need to succeed at jobs that pay 3 or 4 or 5 times the minimum wage. I'll let the left worry about how low they want people to be. I want to have everyone in the country be able to live their piece of the American dream, get the government out of the way, and help them get the skills they need to support their families going forward.
Governor Walker, you are done. Thank you so much for answering those questions.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Thanks.